From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program. We have some big news to talk about on today's show from the state capitol that has huge implications for the entire city of Omaha. We'll also take a closer look at Ireland's recent vote to legalize abortion by striking out their constitutional protection for the unborn. Plus, find out why a church in Oregon is being sued for $2.3 million and if something similar could happen here in Nebraska. This past week, the state attorney general Doug Peterson announced that Nebraska was joining Iowa in a federal lawsuit to block the proposed construction of a casino in Carter Lake, Iowa. This is a huge development. We've talked about this issue on the show before, and a quick refresher again, we have a pretty complicated scenario here. Carter Lake is the only part of Iowa located west of the Missouri River. And the Ponca Tribe of Nebraska owns 5 acres of land in Carter Lake that they purchased in 1999 and placed it into trust in 2002 for the express purpose of building a health clinic. Well, no health clinic was ever built, and in 2007, the tribe announced their intention to build a casino. After decades of lawsuits and appeals and legal reviews, there was finally a decision from D.C. that a casino could be constructed. And of course, casino gambling is illegal in Nebraska, and there's talk that this casino would have 2,000 slot machines. So this is a major gambling operation and really has the potential to completely change the landscape of our city. The city of Council Bluffs filed a lawsuit to prevent this from happening several months ago to protect their own interests, and now in steps the state of Nebraska. Attorney General Doug Peterson announced last week that their office would be intervening by joining a federal lawsuit with Iowa to block the construction of this casino. A spokesperson for the attorney general said, "Since one cannot travel to or from Carter Lake without traveling through Nebraska, this means that Carter Lake's gambling problem will become Nebraska's gambling problem." And I think that's exactly correct. The economic and social harms of gambling, particularly casino gambling, are extremely well documented. And I wanted to talk about this again, not just to highlight the recent development that Nebraska has officially intervened in this matter, but truly to communicate to citizens in Omaha what exactly a casino in Carter Lake would mean for Omaha and why people should care about this. Gambling is extremely harmful for individuals, families, and even entire communities. And the location of the proposed Carter Lake Casino is especially troubling. Although it is technically Iowa, it's essentially Omaha. And it would be the first thing anyone would see traveling in and out of Epley Airfield. This would put a major casino on our front door. We would see substantial increases in gambling losses, increases in addiction, increases in crime. Casinos are bad for local nearby businesses because it doesn't create new wealth. It just extracts wealth. And in this scenario, there isn't even any tax revenue for the state or the city. We always hear about needing to expand gambling or legalize casinos because there's so much money going across the river. But that's not even on the table in this scenario. And even if it were, even if there was going to be some sort of tax revenue for the state, that's not the role of state government to promote gambling and encourage citizens and have a motivation to encourage citizens to make financially poor decisions and push people further into debt and to prey on weakness and addiction and hold people down. And lastly, and this is why it's really important, the Carter Lake Casino would be within walking distance of one of Omaha's most vital ministries, the Open Door Mission, who serves hundreds of homeless people every single day, quite literally our most vulnerable population, who are also the most vulnerable when it comes to gambling and addiction. It would threaten to undermine their entire mission. this is not something that would benefit the city of Omaha or the state of Nebraska or even the tribe. The only people who win with this are the few people who run the games, the rigged games that are designed to get people to lose as much money as possible. The number one target for who those people would be to go there and play the games and lose money and keep playing until they lose everything they have are the people who are going to the Open Door Mission to receive help, to try and get back up on their feet, to get pulled out of poverty. And that's what government, at the very least, should not be preventing people from being able to do so, from being able to lift themselves up. And so I think it's a very encouraging, important thing that the state of Nebraska has intervened, because this would have a huge impact on our state and on our city. And if you've never thought much about gambling or the consequences of casinos, or you maybe don't really see the problem with it, a lot of people, you know, don't gamble themselves, but if other people want to do it, you know, it's not a big deal. But here's why this matters. For every $1 of gambling revenue, the state has to spend $3 on increased social services. And again, in this scenario with the Carter Lake Casino, there is no gambling revenue. None. But it's guaranteed that the state of Nebraska would have to be spending the money on those increased social services that accompany expanded gambling. The tribe wouldn't be paying for it. Iowa wouldn't be paying for it. It would be Nebraska. Nebraska's taxpayers, those who don't gamble, who would never go there, would be footing the bill for this. The other thing that proponents like to throw out there is that this will create jobs. But actually, studies have shown that casinos create more gambling addicts than jobs and can actually take away local jobs. Casinos take away the discretionary and non-discretionary spending of residents and devastate the economies of host communities by making that money unavailable to be spent in local businesses. And there are some big, important businesses very nearby to where this casino would be. And again, you're talking about its location being right by where the most susceptible and vulnerable people to gambling and addiction are located. Casinos have also been directly linked, to as much as a 10% increase in crime within 3 years of opening. The presence of casinos are associated with increased larceny, substance abuse, child neglect, domestic violence, and prostitution. So again, this is going beyond just those who make the decision to go gamble or want to have that opportunity. This is going to affect a lot of people in really negative ways. And the other thing that's extremely troubling is that casinos generate up to 50% of their revenue from problem gamblers. And with problem gambling comes all sorts of social ills that we mentioned. And this one from Indiana is particularly disturbing. And here again, you have just a state in the Midwest. This isn't Las Vegas or New Jersey or somewhere like that. This was in Indiana, where in a period of just over a year, 5 years after casinos opened in Indiana, 72 children were found abandoned on casinos premises. 72 children abandoned at casinos so parents could go gamble. And that was 5 years after casinos had opened. So it wasn't just this huge influx right away. Everyone went and gambled. That was after they had been open for 5 years. And in just over a year, 72 children were abandoned. And we don't need those things happening here in Nebraska. And it's so important that people are aware of this issue and what's at stake, because before the state attorney general stepped in, Nebraskans felt like they really didn't have a voice in this. This is technically Iowa land, and you have a sovereign tribe trying to build a casino and land taken into trust for the express purpose, when it was put in trust for building a health clinic, and now they want to turn it into a casino, and it would have huge consequences for the city of Omaha. And Omaha didn't have a voice in the matter. And so this is the right thing for the state to do. And I'm passionate about this issue because government should be promoting the common good and providing people opportunities to improve their lives, at the very least, not holding them back. And gambling is the direct opposite of that mission. There's no question that a casino in Carter Lake would exploit the most vulnerable members of our society. And at Nebraska Family Alliance, we want families to thrive and life to be cherished and protected. And you can't have that when you have the voice of government encouraging citizens to go gamble or standing back and letting it happen. So Nebraska's elected officials are absolutely right and should stand with the Open Door mission in protecting the integrity and effectiveness of their mission and the vulnerable population that they serve. And thankfully, the Open Door mission is also standing up for themselves and their mission and the population that they serve. The Open Door mission sent a press release several weeks ago voicing their opposition and concerns about the proposed casino, making a strong stand. Candace Gregory, the president and CEO for the Open Door Mission, said in the press release, "The prevalence of problem gambling across homeless populations in America is documented and real. And part of the issue behind problem gambling is the proximity of gambling establishments to at-risk populations. Open Door Mission has seen an increase in problem gambling since casinos came to the area in 1996. The costs of problem gambling have been and will be a growing burden on those vulnerable populations who can least afford the monetary and social losses. We believe that the possible community benefits of another casino in the area, and especially one so close to the Open Door Mission campus, come at an extreme human cost." That's why this issue is so critically important to the city of Omaha and the state of Nebraska. While the Open Door Mission is providing food, shelter, and critical preventative measures to hundreds of people living in poverty every day, casinos create more gambling addicts than jobs, generate up to 50% of their revenue from problem gamblers, and siphon money away from local businesses while taking advantage of those who can least afford it. That's why this matters. And just a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to interview really the leading national expert on gambling policy about state-sanctioned gambling and the harms of gambling in general, Les Burnell, the executive director and president for Stop Predatory Gambling. And I want to again share his response to the common arguments that we always hear in Nebraska about losing out on money, going over to Council Bluffs, and that we should expand gambling because people are doing it already, and really why people should care about this, whether they gamble or not, or have a position on the issue or not. And Les does an incredible job of breaking this issue down in a way that really makes it tangible to people to see what gambling does and maybe help us rethink what the state's position on this issue should be. So here is just part of my conversation from a few weeks ago with Les Burnell on the harms of gambling and why we should make this issue a top priority. What's your response to this idea that Nebraska should legalize more forms of gambling because our surrounding states are doing it and we're losing out on huge amounts of money?
Yeah, it's a guaranteed loser for the people of Nebraska, regardless of whether you gamble or not. When you go down the road of government-sanctioned gambling, you pay even if you don't play. So this issue of government-sanctioned gambling, there's no merit to it. It doesn't benefit everyday people. It only benefits the privileged few that run the games. So that's why the people that advocate for this, they can't stand up and say, this is great for the people in Nebraska. They have to make these very dishonest and deceptive arguments and say, well, look, they're going to these other states to do it. Okay? I mean, Nebraska is the success it is, and it's on the right track as a state because it's in the state government is in the business of providing opportunity for people. When you're in the business of government-sanctioned gambling, you are worsening opportunity for folks. You are extracting wealth away from the hands of ordinary citizens and putting it into the hands of a privileged few. And, you know, right now we live in a country where one out of two people don't own any assets, okay? They don't own any property, no stocks, no bonds. Yet the public voice of government in most states is go out and play these rigged games, lottery games, potential regional casinos. So it's to Nebraska's credit that they haven't gone down this road of failure that like Iowa and these other states have that lack the same kind of where people are trapped in poverty. Whereas in a state like Nebraska, granted, some people are going over the border, but there'd be a lot more people losing money relentlessly if the state was promoting regional casinos and potentially online sports betting to citizens in their own state. It's a guaranteed loser for everyone involved, except for the people that run the games. And so if you care about the direction of our country, direction of your state, it runs through getting states to stop promoting these extreme forms of gambling. And it's true in Nebraska and in every other state. You know, anyone advocating to bring in more gambling into your state and having the state sponsor it, they're not doing this to benefit ordinary citizens. It's being done to benefit a privileged few. So this idea that somehow, like, they have kind of good motives here to do it, it's nonsense. The only people that win in this business are the people that run the games. And I think it's important, like, when you bring in, you know, when these legislators advocate for this, what they're doing is they're creating a lottery class in your state. And by a lottery class, what we mean, we talked about how one out of two citizens don't own any assets, but they have nothing to kind of have financial security in the long term. But the other piece of that is we've taken a nation of small earners and people who could be small savers, and we've turned them into a nation of habitual bettors, you know, as a government program. So for those people who want to gamble, you know, you want to do your thing, go knock yourself out, go, you know, do it privately. You can have your own game, but the role of state government should be in the business of improving people's lives. That's the business of state government. It's not in the business of pushing people into deeper poverty and sticking the bill to all the people who never gamble themselves. Because that's what happens. If you never gamble any of this stuff, you end up paying higher taxes for less services over the long term. And in state after state, what we see is the states that are the biggest predatory gambling states in America, they're the ones in the worst fiscal condition in the country. So like New Jersey, which drove this case for sports betting, they're ranked 50th in the country. Like George Mason University, 50th in the country, the worst for their financial performance as a state. Okay? So like, who do you think bails out? The gambling, when you go down the road of having state-sanctioned gambling, it's a gimmick. It's the ultimate budget gimmick as a revenue source. So like, because it's not sustainable, right? The only way you can keep gambling revenue coming in is you have to add new forms of gambling. Like, that's why when you run a gambling house, the whole thing is about deception to begin with, right? So here you are, the taxpayer, you're thinking, oh, this is going to pay for education. That's, you know, all these other good things that they promise. But if the whole thing is a scam, the only people that win are the guys that run the games, and then when you build those revenues into your budget and then they don't deliver, like, now you have these budget gaps. Like, who do you think fills those budget gaps? Where does that money come from? It comes from either cutting services, so you, the taxpayer who never gamble, you're going to get less services now for your tax dollar, or the flip side is they end up charging you higher taxes to cover the budget gap. You end up paying another way. So you pay even if you don't play.
That was Les Burnell, director of Stop Predatory Gambling, on the harms of gambling and why Nebraskans should care about this issue. And I think he's exactly right. There's so much on the line, and thankfully Nebraskans now have their voice represented in this matter with the Carter Lake Casino. And if you would like more information on the Carter Lake Casino proposal, what's at stake, or gambling and gambling policy in general, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. You can get tons of information and free resources. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our e-network to stay in the know and receive updates on this issue and more, and stay informed on the issues that directly affect you and your family. Another major development on the pro-life front that has been in the news recently has been Ireland's historic vote to repeal their country's ban on abortion. The people of Ireland voted overwhelmingly to repeal the Eighth Amendment of the Irish Constitution, which had given protection to unborn children. More than 66% of Irish voters voted to repeal that amendment, and only 33% voted against the repeal, which was the pro-life vote. And as John Davidson writes in The Federalist, the referendum marks the first time in history a people have freely chosen to embrace mothers freely killing their unborn children. What this says is that women matter, but only if they're already born. And we've also seen that this vote to repeal the pro-life constitutional amendment in Ireland is really being pushed and celebrated in the media as a victory or a win for women's rights against a restrictive law. Ireland has had this pro-life provision in their constitution since 1983, which reads, "The state acknowledges the right to life of the unborn, and with due regard to the equal right to life of the mother, guarantees in its laws to respect, and as far as practicable by its laws, to defend and vindicate that right." With the repeal of this amendment, there's already plans in Ireland to legalize abortion up to 12 weeks. And it's really been interesting and probably not surprising just to see how this has been reported in the news, and it almost entirely focuses on what this means for women and women's reproductive rights. And the reporters never focus on what it means for the unborn or what it means for post-abortive women. And thankfully, the president of our national affiliate, Focus on the Family, Jim Daly, has written an open letter to the people of Ireland in which he writes, "As the son of an Irish father and as the president of America's largest Christian family ministry, I write this letter with a heavy heart. Based on the snapshots of your jubilant and celebrating citizens that American media outlets are currently publicizing, one might think congratulations are in order, but they would be wrong. In fact, rather than offering my compliments for a victory, I am offering my deepest condolences. Last week's landslide vote to overturn your country's abortion prohibition marks the tragic beginning of a culture of death for the Emerald Isle. Many who favored its repeal are suggesting the vote has liberated a repressed class of women. In reality, 66.4% of your citizens voted to enslave generations to come. Admittedly, I believe that every child, both born and preborn, is entitled to protection under the law. My opinions are informed by both the teaching of my Christian faith and natural law, a body of unchanging moral principles." He goes on to write, "I haven't even mentioned the most obvious impact of all. Abortion eliminates the potential that is found within every life. It's never too late to turn back, Ireland. I'm aware of an old Irish idiom that feels most appropriate and applicable today. May you have the hindsight to know where you've been, the foresight to know where you are going, and the insight to know when you have gone too far." And in another instance of going too far, a church in Portland, Oregon, is now being sued for $2.3 million. The reason? For not hosting an LGBT event. An Oregon business filed a complaint against the Holy Rosary Church of Portland after they prohibited them from hosting an LGBT event in a building owned by the church, claiming that the fallout from that decision harmed their company. The business who wanted to host that LGBT event is now suing the church upwards of $2 million. That is an outrageous assault on religious freedom and the rights of churches and ministries, and it's another example of why Nebraska Family Alliance exists, to ensure that marriages and families thrive, life is cherished and protected, and religious liberty is affirmed and celebrated. And we would be honored if you would partner with us and join the movement to advance family, freedom, and life. That's all for this week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.